Welcome to Hour 2 of Sports Saturday on KLBJ with hosts Ed and Ben Clements. They're taking calls at 512-836-0590 or toll-free at 877-590-KLBJ.
It is another edition of the End Zone Club on live from Dirty Martins here on News Radio KLBJ, brought to you by our great friends over at Covert and Bastrop, Supreme Lending, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Sue Patrick at 5222 Burner Road, The Party Barn, and Delaware Subs, where tomorrow they're doing their 2-for-1 cheesesteak special for NFL Sunday.
And also ACL Live at the Moody Theater, where you can see great entertainment tonight and every night at the ACL Live Moody Theater.
You didn't write that down on the sheet, Pop, and it confused me. So thank you for reminding me. ACL Live, great spot to see music at the Moody Theater. Pop, today is Saturday, September 25th. We're watching the Ryder Cup. And the Texas Longhorns, Pop, as of right now, are back.
They are
scoring 70 points against the Texas Tech Red Raiders.
70 points.
The most points since 2005.
That's right, since the national championship year. We're also seeing some huge upsets today. Most notably, the Arkansas Razorbacks are on the lip of the cup. They are about to defeat Texas A&M, Aggies number 7 in the nation. It's 20-10 in the closing seconds. A wild one at North Carolina State. Clemson in overtime, Ben, is now beating North Carolina State 21-14, as that is a big, big game. And a huge upset this afternoon in Waco. The Baylor Bears, who have been under the radar all year long, have defeated vaunted Iowa State 31-29. So it is a very, very, very big day of upsets in the Big 12. Also today, SMU defeated TCU 42-34.
Yep.
Congratulations to our buddy Sonny Dykes.
That's right.
And tonight it's going to be West Virginia at Oklahoma in a big game in the Big 12 Conference. The golf guys are still with us. Mark Brooks is still with us. John Paul Hebert, as we're getting the closing moments of the afternoon session of the Ryder Cup, as we're watching that as well. And by the way, if you'd like to call in and talk college football or talk golf, you can. Here are the phone numbers at 512-836-0590. Fellas, we've been watching Scottie Scheffler, the former Longhorn. He is now, is that number 7? That's par 317, Mark, he's teeing off on?
They do have him dormy, and that stayed up, so he's in pretty good shape there.
So it looks like if it falls like it's supposed to fall, the U.S. has won one match already this afternoon. The Colin Morikawa, Dustin Johnson.
Correct.
And if they win this or with this match, that'll be 2 points. That would make the U.S. at 11 points, and that would be the biggest comeback in the history of the Ryder Cup.
That would be the only excitement left for the Euros to try to make history. And
yes,
they'd have to win 9 of the 12 matches.
Wow.
Tomorrow.
Virtually impossible.
So we're guaranteed 10.5.
Yes, sir.
Starting tomorrow is what we're talking about
here. Well, Scotty put it safe, and his partner put it safe, yeah, and better than safe, and it's getting even better. And that might be all she wrote right there for that match.
Remind our listeners, when was the last time the Americans won the Ryder Cup?
Mark, you know better. They lost in Paris last time. And when was it?
They won two Ryder Cups.
They won two Ryder Cups?
Yeah.
Yeah, ago. Two.
Okay.
Two in arrears. But
yeah,
They've lost 7 of the past 9. So,
why is that? Give our listeners a kind of insight to this. Why has the Americans struggled so much in the past 10 years?
I think we've overthought it. Go back to, they didn't dance with the one that brought
yeah,
them. And, to borrow a quote from our illustrious head football coach here, Dale Roy, said,
yeah,
you got to dance with the one that brought you. And, I don't think that's happened. I think they've come in there and tried to overthink it, and who goes with who, and what, how do we play the course? Are you kidding me? These guys go out, they know how to play any golf course in the world, and they're the best players in the world. So I just think they've overthought it a lot. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not a fan of the big picks. I mean, I think 6 picks, they did it because of the COVID problem, but I'd almost be in favor of reducing the picks to how about one or none. Let's just let's earn your spot, and you get to go.
Yeah.
Hey, they've gone final in Arlington. Arkansas has defeated A&M 20-10.
Whoa, Arkansas.
Wow.
They're legit.
They're legit.
Texas is vindicated.
Texas is vindicated because of the loss to Arkansas. This is shocking. The Aggies were favored by 4.5 points, Ben. But
don't forget also, they are playing with their backup quarterback, Calzada. Starting quarterback went out week 1. against Colorado. It's an unfortunate series for A&M, who really came in hot. They finished, what, 11-3 last year?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A&M had a lot of high hopes, and really, really unfortunate the way the season's gone. But Arkansas, I don't know if this is a bad loss for A&M or Arkansas is just legit, but
I think Arkansas is legit.
Really, I didn't think when Texas played them a couple weeks ago that Arkansas was really that good, but to go to Dallas and beat A&M, who is a phenomenal team, Arkansas is not, they're not a schmuck there in the SEC.
No, they're not. It's the first time they defeated the Aggies in 9 years. Remember that.
Well, also, I don't get, why is this game in Dallas? It has made no sense. It's not a real rivalry. Why they go to Jerry World to play this game?
Because of Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones played for the 1964 Arkansas National Championship team, and he pays both teams to come to Arlington. I think it's foolish, too.
Yeah.
I think college football should be played on campuses. I would hate if Texas, besides Texas.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd hate to see Texas do that in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you do it. You Texas OU every year, but I would hate to see Texas OU go to Jerry World.
Yeah, well, that'll never happen.
I hope that will never happen.
Okay, so looking forward then, Arkansas, I mean, SEC struggled so far this year for the most part. I mean, Auburn getting beat right now. Alabama is your only clear champion out of that conference.
I would put Georgia in there.
Or Georgia too, excuse me, too. But Arkansas, a team that came into the season with not a lot of credibility.
No, notoriety, not at all.
Two big wins against Texas teams, one of which will be joining them in the SEC pretty soon. I think Arkansas will have a target on their back the rest of the season, the SEC.
I think so too. And the Aggies, you know, after losing today, Aggies next week will have to play Mike Leach and Mississippi State, a goofy team. I love Mike Leach, but he's a goofy coach. They could struggle, and I think they will struggle coming off the loss, because the week after that, fellas, they have to host number one Alabama. The same weekend Texas plays OU, they face Alabama. So it could be tough for the Aggies to rebound. Well, look who's on the field. Can you see who's on the field right there? There he is. That's the reason, Ben. Jerry Jones is hugging all the brothers there for Arkansas and all the players there.
Watch it.
Yeah, all the players.
I want to congratulate you guys on a great game.
Great guy. You got grace, yeah. I mean, he was congratulating the entire team.
Pop, did you see what Georgia did to Vanderbilt?
They beat him in a big way,
62-0.
Wow.
And did you see also what Boston College did to Missouri?
Yeah.
They won
in
overtime.
How does that happen?
Yeah. Boston College and Missouri. Missouri's one of those teams where what were they thinking going to the SEC?
Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines. Justin is calling on KLBJ. Hi, Justin. Welcome. You're on KLBJ.
Ed, I would like to take you to play a round of golf. You call me, I will take you to play some golf.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it, Justin. What do you think of the Ryder Cup?
Hey, you know, I think we have a bunch of rookies, but they are so good. We're going to win this Ryder Cup. Let's go, America. USA.
USA, thank you for the call, Justin. USA, USA, USA. Yeah, and they're going to do it because of the advantage they have. Now, back to the SEC.
I probably shouldn't tell Justin who you were rooting for earlier in the day, Pop, when you were watching the Europeans play.
I got to admit, I'm rooting for Jordan Spieth and Sergio Garcia and Scottie Scheffler. But especially I want to root for the guys that I know.
Benedict.
That are former Longhorns, but no. Again, the USA. Where are we now, Mark, on the closing?
Well, Scottie Scheffler and Bryson are on the 17th hole, two up. And if Victor Hovland doesn't make about a 20-footer, this deal will be closed out right here on 17. Because Scotty was in good shape just off the edge of the green, and Bryson hit a beautiful shot to about 8 feet on the 215-yard par 3. So they're two up, which is dormy, as you know. They guaranteed a half point, but they're about to have a full point on the board, and that'll make it 11.
That's big. That is insurmountable. Okay, we got to take a break. By the way, North Carolina State has just tied Clemson in double overtime. Wow.
What?
21-21. Clemson and NC State are tied. The Aggies go down today to Arkansas Longhorns in a big way. They defeat Texas Tech 70-35. SMU defeated TCU. That's an upset, 42-34. Baylor has upset Iowa State 31-29 in Waco. We'll have much, much more from the End Zone Club on KLBJ Radio, brought to you by Coward and Bastrop, Supreme Lending, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Sue Patrick, 5222 Burnett Road, The Party Barn, ACL Live in Bedford, and Delaware Subs, where they have a 2 for one Philly cheesesteak on NFL tomorrow. Ben, what are you reporting on? What do you have? What's
North
happened?
Carolina State Pop has just scored in double overtime against Clemson. I'm trying to get the score here. They now lead. Clemson will have a chance to rebuttal here.
Okay.
But if they cannot score a touchdown, North Carolina State will win this game.
Huge, huge upset for NC State. We'll be back. We'll get you up to date on the Ryder Cup. I'm Ed Clements along with Ben Clements, John Paul Hebert with us, and Mark Brooks, the former PGA champion as well. And we'll be back with more from Dirty Martin's Place right after this timeout.
Back in the End Zone Club on News Radio KLBJ, live from Dirty Martin's over on Guadalupe. Thank you to our great friends over at Covert Bastrop, Supreme Lending, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Sue Patrick at 5222 Bernard Road, The Party Barn, Delaware Subs, where tomorrow they're doing their 2-for-1 cheesesteaks for NFL Sunday, and ACL Live, home of the Moody Theater. Thank you, our great friends at ACL Live, the best place to see music in all of Austin. Go to acl-live.com to get any tickets, acl-live.com. Pop, get us up to date on the Ryder Cup and football.
Well, right now, Ryder Cup, Mark Brooks is with it, 11-5. It's over for the day. 11-5, and the U.S. is in great shape. It would take the greatest comeback in Ryder Cup history for the Euros to win. So Patrick Harrington's got to coach a little bit tonight, but it's just almost a given that the U.S. will win the Ryder Cup.
When was the last time USA had a given to win? It was a near can't miss.
I don't know when it was, because they've been relatively close. Maybe a few years ago, maybe 4 years ago, the last time they won, they had it was It was comfortable, but this is huge.
Does this make it less exciting for you to go tomorrow? Because we know you're going tomorrow to the to Whistling Straits. Does it, since America essentially can't lose, does it make it a little less exciting? You want to see some good action, or does it matter?
I'm just hoping more of the merchandise is on discount. I'm going to be loading up with that discounted merchandise. I'm going to wait till very end. As soon as it's over, which will be early in the afternoon, I'm going to go in there because everything's going to go half off.
So you're going to go get one of those sweatshirts that you're talking about off air?
The
hoodies.
Oh, the hoodies? Well, I heard the hoodies are flying off the shelf there.
I bet.
I'm going to pass on the hoodie. I mow the yard in a hoodie. I walk my dog in a hoodie, but I do not play golf in a hoodie.
Okay?
It's as simple as that.
John Paul, are most of your players at UT wearing those hoodies to play? Do you allow them to do that?
We do not. We will not have any hoodies that say Texas Golf on them.
Really?
They go to class wearing a hoodie. They can sleep in a hoodie. They can do whatever they want to do in a hoodie.
But don't
but
step on the UT Golf Club in a hoodie.
We're not going to play competitive golf that's with burnt orange Texas in a hoodie.
Won't do it at all.
Let the kids have some fun, JP.
Not any time in the foreseeable future.
And by the way, when y'all play October 4th in...
We play October 4th and 5th at Colonial.
At Colonial in Fort Worth. That's Mark's old stomping ground there.
Yeah. I'm going to get some pearls from him getting ready to go.
Is that your favorite golf course in Fort Worth? You're from Fort Worth. Is that your favorite?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's, you know, it's so old school and still is. And I know they've got some renovation plans in the works.
Really?
In the works, yes. But
what are they going to do?
They're going to hopefully stay old school.
I hope they stay old school
too.
John Paul, have you never heard the phrase "look good, feel good, play good"? Look at Colin Morikawa. He looks like $1 million. He looks comfortable. He looks like he can go to sleep right now, and he's winning.
I don't think he had a choice.
But he's one of the young guns, and you know, you said he looks like how much?
He just looks comfortable.
He looks like $1 million with the hoodie. He'd look like $5 million without the hoodie.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
512-836-0590. We were talking about the struggles of the SEC today. Georgia State was defeating Auburn. Auburn has just scored. It's 27-24 with about 40 seconds to play in that game.
That's right, Pop. Auburn might escape this one with a narrow victory. Obviously, A&M goes down to Arkansas. A&M was a three-point favorite.
It's big. This is really big.
It's strange. Yeah. I'm trying to kind of put this in perspective for the SEC because SEC obviously has been the powerhouse conference. There's a lot that's the aura around the SEC is that they are the best conference in college football, but it is a very poor showing out of the SEC today, minus Georgia and Alabama, who's a 70-point favorite tonight against God knows who.
I think Georgia is going to be competitive against Alabama. We saw Florida. They're playing in action today. Florida leads Tennessee 7-0. So you still have some very good teams, but you got some teams in the middle. But Arkansas is still the team now. You got to say, whoa, watch out for Arkansas and what they are doing.
Yeah.
And, Mark, you were talking about Arkansas. They're older players.
They are. One of my Aggie friends. He pointed that out. We were talking about this the last couple of weeks, that they have a very mature, as far as college is concerned, you know, their team is one of the oldest in the country, and a lot of fifth-year seniors.
Yeah.
We were talking about it. You know, so you're a lineman. You're a stud out of high school. You come in, you're 19. You spent maybe 1 year in the weight room, so you're 20, 19 or 20, and there's that kid across the ball from me. He's been there for 5 years,
right,
in that weight room. He's probably a bigger, stronger animal that, you know, going to knock you down. And
sure,
that's kind of what they did. They pushed us around the first week, and there's ways around that, as you know, we all
sure
know. But I think it was a punch in the face for our guys last week, and I think they had a mature bunch across the line.
It was a punch in the face today at DKR for Texas. Texas just throttled Texas Tech 70-35.
Yeah.
Then you got some stats on the bottom of that sheet. Bijan Robinson had another fine day.
Yeah, Pop, he had 18 runs for 137 yards, one touchdown. Casey Thompson, 18 for 23, 303 yards and five touchdowns.
Five.
With only one interception. Xavier, what is his last name again?
Worthy. Worthy.
What is
the
your X-Man handwriting here?
The X-Man.
What is your? It says, I knew it says Xavier Watts. It's Worthy, Pop.
Worthy, okay.
Had five catches for 100 yards and three touchdowns. The young phenom receiver.
Really, really good.
And so I was thinking a lot during this game. The first thought that came to mind was, where was this Casey Thompson in August, in preseason? What the flying hell were Sarkisian and the offensive coaches thinking when they started Hudson Card?
You know who else posed that question this afternoon on Twitter? Our friend Kirk Bowles.
Yeah.
He asked the same thing. What was going on? And I don't know what was going on. Let me throw this. I guess it was a matter of Hudson Card was practicing and getting the offense better than Casey was.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of, because right now Casey Thompson is just he's going great. He's a touchdown-making machine.
What I saw is that I think Casey Thompson has those intangibles that Hudson Card might not have. You know, in a practice, in a scrimmage, the drop back, you know, three-step drop pass quarterback most likely most of the time will look better because he looks like a pure quarterback. But it's a guy like Casey Thompson who makes plays on the run that you don't really see on paper is the guy that ultimately will help you win games.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson Card can drop back and pass all day long, but if he gets under pressure, he can't do some stuff that Casey Thompson can do.
Yeah, Sarkisian said today in a quick interview that for whatever reason, when Casey's out there, the offense flows, but
yeah,
it's working.
Casey made one mistake today in the third quarter. He forced a pass in the end zone that was intercepted, but that's the only mistake I could see. He scrambled well. He passed well. He ran the ball well, and I think things are looking good. Next week, the Longhorns play TCU, and fellas, TCU was favored by 10 points over Sonny Dykes and SMU, and TCU was throttled today by SMU, 42-34. This wasn't that close.
Yeah.
So TCU's going to be A, very, very much down, or very, very much angry, and we know what TCU has been doing to Texas over the last decade with Gary Patterson, and it's in Fort Worth.
Yeah, Texas put up a 70-burger today, I think should help their momentum. It should give them a little confidence. Defensively, though, for Texas, I do have some questions. I worry about those defensive backs. There are many times where Texas Tech receivers burned
Naked.
Anthony Cook, BJ Foster, and company. So defense still has a lot of holes to fill. The offense showed, though, they can score against a defense who Texas Tech is no slouch defense. They know how to play. They were 3-0 going into this week. So defense needs to tighten up the bolts. The offense needs to continue doing what they're doing and get confident with Casey's leadership.
Yeah, and I think what I've been seeing offensively and what I saw defensively today, minus the big passes, I think this whole league is very, very competitive.
Yeah.
Up and down, because Iowa State was exposed today. They've now lost two games already.
Yeah.
They lost to Baylor 31-29. Baylor playing great. Oklahoma, not that been impressive. They got Spencer Rattler.
Uh-huh.
I think Texas is going to be very competitive with them in 2 weeks. And you look up and down the line. We'll learn more about Oklahoma tonight when they kick off against West Virginia in a few moments. Also, Oklahoma State leads Kansas State 7-3. And those are two undefeated teams. So
yeah.
I think the whole conference looks real. I don't want to say average. Well, I guess they are average. Everybody's pretty much the same. That's not kind to say.
Pop, if it wasn't average, I think the Big 12 would survive another 10 years.
I think there's a lot of parity in our league right now.
The wordsmith, John Paul Aber, that's exactly what I wanted to say. Parity. Could you just sit by me on the radio? Parity.
How about porous defenses?
Porous defenses.
Porous defenses in the Big 12. It has been the nemesis, and we know what's happening. There's only so many outstanding defensive linemen and defensive backs. and they've been going to the SEC. Let's just face it. They've been going to the SEC the last 10 years. So.
Yeah, it was good to see Brockemeyer have that tip interception today.
Yep.
His brothers are playing for Alabama. Boy, I wish they'd transfer here.
Yep.
But I'm glad Luke Brockemeyer had that. Of course, Blake Brockemeyer, wonderful offensive lineman from years gone by, and of course he played for the Chicago Bears, but it was a really, really good win for the Texas Longhorns in this win over Texas Tech. And I don't know about the Tech situation. I think Tech may be in pretty big trouble. We got a break for the news. After the news, we'll have more from Dirty Martin's Place. Come down and enjoy all the football games tonight and enjoy great burgers, beer, and mixed drinks here at Dirty Martin's Place. I'm Ed Clements along with Ben Clements. Mark Brooks is here. John Paul Hebert is here. And we'll be back right after the news right here on News Radio 590 KLBJ in Austin. Welcome back to the End Zone Club on KLBJ Radio, broadcasting live from Dirty Martin's Place on Guadalupe. Your place to have great burgers, great drinks, and watch football all night long here at Dirty Martin's Place. The place to be before and after Longhorn football games. Our show, The End Zone Club, proudly brought to you by Dirty Martin's. Covert in Bastrop, Rocks and the Gang were closed today, but they'll be open tomorrow. Supreme Lending, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Sue Patrick at 5222 Burnett Road, The Party Barn just down the road here in Guadalupe, ACL Live, and also by Delaware Subs tomorrow, 2-for-1 Philly cheesesteaks. Man, they are good. It's the NFL special, and by ACL Live. I'm Ed Clements along with Ben Clements. Mark Brooks is with us, former PGA champion. John Paul Hebert is with us as we talk a mixture of Ryder Cup golf and college football. Of course, the Longhorns crushed Texas Tech today, 70-35. One of the most complete victories I've seen by a Texas Longhorn football game. I say it's complete. They gave up
a couple defensive mistakes.
They gave up a lot of points, but still, this was not ever a game to me because Texas came out early and often. Let's get you up to date on the Ryder Cup. Day two is over. USA leads Europe 11-5 this afternoon. John Rahm and Sergio Garcia won again. They defeated Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth 2-1. Shane Lowry and Terrell Hatton in a surprise defeated Tony Finau and Harris English. But Scottie Scheffler from the University of Texas and Bryson DeChambeau from SMU defeated Tommy Fleetwood and Victor Hovland 3-1. And Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa defeated Ian Poulter and Rory McIlroy 4-3. Kudos to Sergio Garcia, friend of all of ours at this table. He's playing lights out. And you got to wonder what's going on that European team with Rory McIlroy. What's going on with Rory McIlroy, Mark Brooks?
He's just off right now. I mean, he's clearly a little out of sync.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows? He hopefully doesn't make any excuses, but he's probably tired. He actually played a lot of golf in the last 12 months. I think I read the other day he's played 33 or 34 events in the last, say, you know, 53 or 4 weeks, which for a normal guy like me who played I played most weeks when I was on tour.
Don't you still have the
mark? No, I wasn't trying to go there.
Okay? No, but I mean,
but you went there, Mark.
I'm going to go there. Don't you have the most starts of anybody ever?
I do, actually.
Wow.
But
yeah.
How many is that?
803.
No, you don't.
Yes, but he does.
Just on the, that's only on the PGA Tour.
You started 803 events?
On the regular tour, yeah, only.
Yeah.
Gosh, I wish I could curse right now. What? 803 events?
Yeah, it's kind of sick, actually, but... Anyway, I'll do the math for you because
that's a lot of golf shots.
Trouble math. That would be playing 25 events a year for 32 years.
Oh my gosh,
that's all it is.
Fantastic. And that's is anybody close?
Oh yeah, there's a few guys Jay Haas, Davis Loeb.
But
is that like the Cal Ripken?
If they
junior
count,
record?
I will say this: if he could count his assistant captainships and captaincies on the, you know, on the Ryder Cup, he'd probably be really close. But I think he's probably 25 or so behind me.
But you're going to get, because he's not playing anymore.
He plays
it
a little bit, but
you. So do you.
It's play, okay.
So do you.
I'm just saying, I think he's a little burned out. You know, I've looked back and said, how did I play that many? I didn't even play over 30 very often. So, you know, maybe years you were having a really bad year. You were trying to chase your card. You just played all of a sudden. You just played every week for the last 10 or 12 weeks. But Roy's probably played a little too much. And he hasn't had a lot of, like, the wins that get that confidence up.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rory, because Rory, I think, besides Tiger Woods, will go down as my favorite golfer ever. What happened?
Not Mark Brooks?
Current players.
Now.
He's sneaking up now.
Current players.
Now.
I'm
current
sorry.
Players.
Well, let me try it for you. It's the same thing in football or any other sport. If you're in a winning culture, you have to win a lot to have the winning culture. You can't have a winning culture if you're losing.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods won so much that his entire being was about winning.
Mm-hmm.
So he was engulfed in a winning culture. The player, the people that he surrounded himself outside from other sports, they were all winners.
Yeah.
And when you lose a lot, and, you know, for a guy like Rory McIlroy, winning majors is pretty much his main thing right now. And he's gone 7 years without a win. Mm. I mean, he's starting to feel like a Dallas Cowboy. I mean, it's like, I'm getting to the playoffs, but I don't get anything else.
But it's like Rory came out so hot. He's, I think, arguably the most talented golfer on the tour. He has one of the greatest swings, one of the best ball strikers we've ever seen. And yet, he has that kind of mentality and the aura about him that he is one of the best golfers consistently on tour, but it seems like he hasn't won a major in forever. He still hasn't gotten his Masters victory, which seems like it would have happened by now.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point where, will he ever win a Masters? Will he complete the career Grand
I'll
Slam?
I'll jump in. I think he's very capable. We've seen a lot of 40-something guys have success.
Well, when you're saying all that, and I'm like, he is. He still is one of the best players on the tour. It's just, you know, the bar got set high. And when the bar set high, everybody expects you to get there.
Yeah.
And for a player like Rory McIlroy, the only thing that we're going to say well done is when he wins a major.
Yeah.
He goes and wins. He can win three regular tour events in a row.
Wouldn't even matter.
We're going to go, well, I expect that.
Yeah.
So we want to see him on the biggest stage.
And it's funny because also, he just won the FedEx Cup, was it a year ago? And isn't that correct? He won, was it 2020 or 2019? He won the FedEx Cup?
Maybe so.
And yet, it just seems like he's kind of not become irrelevant. I know I sound like a jerk right now, but he kind of has been. He kind of has become like the guy that can't finish out.
Let me bring this up. It's cyclical. Look, who are the two most dominant players on the European?
Am I being harsh on Rory right now?
You're being a little harsh.
No.
I think you are.
I was talking about the culture.
Oh, the culture. Okay, yeah.
Alabama.
Yeah.
We talked about Alabama again.
They win.
It's not accepted to not win.
Right, right. And I think people, as you said, Ben, eloquently, people have that. Rory should win every time. He should be there every time. Speaking about a guy that's sort of ebb and flow the last few years, Sergio won the Masters, kind of went off the rails, and now he has extended his lead of the most points of anybody in the Ryder Cup.
Is he the greatest Ryder Cupper of all time?
If you go point-wise, yes, he is. 28.5 points now for Sergio Garcia. Yeah.
Well, didn't he? I think he started the Ryder Cup as a 19-year-old, correct?
At Brookline. Yeah. We were there, at Brookline. But tomorrow, he's got the opportunity to go 3-0.
Yeah.
3-0 for a 40-something guy. He's had a phenomenal Ryder Cup. And the most points, I'm not sure. I think maybe Morikawa and those young guys, Schauffele could break that, but it's going to be tough to break all that points. Yeah.
Well, it kind of seems like for Sergio, he's having more fun now, and the Ryder Cup is fun for them. They relish in the booze and the hostility of the American crowd, and I feel like he plays better when it's fun for him, where it's not all the pressure, because how long did he go without a major victory until winning the Masters?
Oh, my gosh, a long, long, long
time.
And
I think he was having fun then. He got married. He started living down in Austin. He had a child.
Two kids.
Started enjoying the game again.
Yeah.
And this Ryder Cup, he's relishing in this kind of, this is fun, they hate me, but I can prove them wrong, I can shut them up, and I'm playing with my fellow Spaniard. And he's really kind of showing that he can still play at, 49 years old?
Well, he's not that old, but he's 40-some, 42, 41, so he's...
Is he actually?
He's 41,
I think he's like 41.
Your boy's got the gray hairs.
I'll ask him tomorrow. That'll give me something to do.
Yeah. Fire him up. Fire him up.
Mark, let me ask you, if people talk about Sergio's ball striking ability, who is the greatest ball striker you ever played with?
The greatest ball striker that I've played with, a few times?
Or witnessed or was around?
Lee Trevino.
Really?
Trevino. Yeah. Before that, I got to watch Ben Hogan hit a lot of golf shots,
mm-hmm.
and he would be, he's top of my list. And Lee's second. I mean, for me, ball striking is controlling your golf ball. Not just how far can you hit it, and, you know, there's a 50-yard wide fairway, and so he's the longest. Those two stand, they don't stand way apart from a Tiger Woods, but they would, I mean, there were hundreds of shots Tiger Woods hit that those two guys almost weren't even capable of hitting as far offline, for example, you know, with a driver.
Right.
Speeds were slower, you know, somewhat slower, but those are two. Lee Trevino, Ben Hogan, and I'm a little prejudiced being a Texan, but they're the top two on my list.
Okay, I've always actually wanted to ask a golfer this question because I've never seen the man play. He died in 2004. The Canadian, was it Mo Norman?
Yeah.
And people consider him the greatest ball striker of all time, even though he had the really wacky finish where it's almost like he was hitting a cutoff shot. Did either of you three ever see him play? Do you remember him?
I saw him give a couple clinics.
Was he that good?
In Canada. Yeah, he was just he's a totally different guy mentally, very autistic and not really capable of playing in a tournament format, really. But incredible ball striker, had his way of doing it. He was kind of like into whatever, the natural golf and one plane type swing.
Yeah.
And just hit, he'd hit shots and say, perfect shot. same tee for 4 months, He would just hit one shot every day. They all looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
Fellas, we need to take after this break more golf talk. The U.S. leads the Ryder Cup 11-5, the largest lead heading into the final day since 1975. So that is big for the U.S. team. 12 singles matches tomorrow. Also, we'll get you up to date on college football. We've had some major upsets this afternoon, not only in the Big 12, but nationally. We'll return with more. This is the End Zone Club on KLBJ Radio, broadcasting live from Dirty Martin's place, and we'll return to Dirty's right after this timeout.
Back on the End Zone Club on News Radio KLBJ, live from Dirty Martin's place, brought to you by our great friends over at Cooper and Bastrop, Supreme Lending, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Sue Patrick at 5222 Burner Road, Delaware Subs, ACL Live, and I want to tell y'all real quick about a favorite local spot of mine owned by my longtime friend Robert Ellis, and that's the Party Barn over at 3300 Guadalupe, an Austin icon since 1978. They have the coldest beers, kegs, wine, seltzers, and more, and the best part is I don't even have to leave my car. Just pull into the drive-thru, ask for your go-to drinks or keg, and they'll get you taken care of. I'm in, I'm out, the customer service is great, and the price is right. Stop by the Party Barn over at 3300 Guadalupe for your cold drinks this fall, or give them a call to set up a keg delivery or your office or your next big bash. With tailgate season now upon us, keep them in mind for your hydration needs. Go to 3300 Guadalupe, ask for Robert, and get all your beer, wine, and keg and seltzers taken care of. That's 3300 Guadalupe Street, the Party Barn.
Great people at the Party Barn. Great people here at Dirty Martin's, too. Longhorns win today 70-35 over Texas Tech in a day of upsets. Arkansas upset Texas A&M 20-10, handing the Aggies their first loss of the year. Arkansas is for real. You won't believe this score, but here it goes. North Carolina State has upset number 9 Clemson in two overtimes, 27-21. You're not going to believe this score. But from Waco today, the Fighting Baylor Bears upset number 14 Iowa State, 31-29. So a day of upsets around the country.
What about our buddy Sonny Dykes, our team away from team, SMU? What'd they
do? I forgot to mention that. Sonny Dykes and the SMU Mustangs upset TCU 42-34.
Here's a scenario, Pop, which I know you'll love. Texas Tech got hammered today. They're not doing so good. They got a new coach. They might be disgruntled with him. Sonny Dykes would love to go to Lubbock and take over for his late father's position. Is there any chance we see Sonny Dykes make the switch from SMU to Texas Tech?
That would be the interesting deal. Matt Wells is in trouble.
Yeah.
This is his third year. He gets pounded by Texas, and his team doesn't look very good, and the natives are restless in Lubbock. They spend a boatload of money for athletics at Texas Tech, and they want a winner. Sonny Dykes would be the natural guy, but the question is, would Sonny leave SMU, life is really good?
We've talked about it. He's in the perfect situation at SMU. The expectations are not that high. He's bringing them back from the dead after the death penalty. He's in Dallas. It's a big-money school. They pay their players a bazillion dollars like they did in the 1980s. I know he wants to go to Lubbock to go coach where his father, Spike Dykes, coached.
I don't know if he does or not. We haven't talked about that.
But he's a successful coach after his stints at Louisiana Tech, then Cal, and now SMU. He's a proven winner. We were all pretty upset when he didn't get the Texas job. Granted, Sarkisian's doing a good job right now.
Yeah.
But Sonny Dykes is a great candidate for any opening this season.
He is, because he won a game today.
And that's also very biased of us.
Oh, yeah. He's a dear friend of ours for many years, but he won a game today he wasn't supposed to win.
Yeah.
And he's playing in a tough conference because Cincinnati's playing so well in that conference. Memphis is playing so well in that conference. So.
Also, I know we talked about this off air. Is this a situation where we can see SMU go on a run, win 10 games this season, and the Big 12 starts rethinking their expansion? Maybe they do bring in an SMU. Maybe they don't bring a Central Florida It's a wacky expansion, bringing in an Ohio team, bringing in a Florida team.
And BYU.
And BYU. Yeah. Is there any chance that SMU can pop over to the Big 12?
I don't know. I don't think so, because I think they lack the number. But I think when Texas and Oklahoma leave, that they could be a part of that. But they've got the Dallas market, they say, with TCU. But
it's Fort Worth, though.
But as we talked about, well, that's where Mark's from.
Easy, pal.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that it's in a bad way.
Easy, pal.
I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm strictly saying it's not Dallas, though.
I mean, we got the stockyards, buddy.
I'm just saying it's not Dallas.
It's not Brownwood.
That was not a critical way of saying it. I'm just saying, yes, they have Fort Worth. Okay, are we going to add UTSA? Because
no.
It's not Austin.
No.
It's 45 minutes away. They still want a Dallas market.
I know Texas Tech.
And it's a Texas school.
We had Kent Hance on the show yesterday. They have a huge enrollment from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, especially Dallas. So I don't know if they will, but the way SMU is playing, they deserve some consideration.
It really just goes back to my really hatred for the expansion of the SMU to the Big 12 with bringing in Ohio school, a BYU, bringing in a Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Well, like, why would you buy a Florida school? Keep it like it was in the old Big 12 days and the old Southwest Conference days. Keep it Texas. Keep it Southwest region.
I agree. Scoreboard now. Oklahoma State has jumped ahead of Kansas State 21-10 in the first quarter. West Virginia and Oklahoma are still going on right now. No score with 8 minutes play.
Bob, I also want to address something before we go, because we haven't really talked a lot about it, but now the season's kind of unfolding. Bijan Robinson, his third game in a row with 100 yards. We had a lot of expectations going into the season. He'd be in New York at the Heisman ceremony. Is it still available? Do you think it's still in the books that Bijan will be in New York?
I think so. I think it will be, Ben, because you look at what he's done.
I mean, he's emerging as the best running back in the country, and he's not even the only running back at Texas. He's splitting time with two other guys.
Here's a fact that bodes well for Texas next week. SMU had two running backs that went over 100 yards today.
Yeah.
One guy went for 153, one guy went for 110. That bodes well next week because Gary Patterson's defense is not the old TCU defense. SMU rushed for 350 yards. SMU ran more than they passed more, so I think that bodes well. And to answer your question, I think if Bijan continues, he will have consideration for the Heisman.
I mean, the sophomore running back, he had 18 carries for 137 yards and one touchdown. And again, that splitting time with Roschon Johnson, who himself is a great running back. I reminisce about the Cedric Benson, Ricky days, even the Deontay Foreman days, where Texas was a run and tumble offense, and they had a lead back that carried the offense. Looking forward to next year, even the rest of the season, with Casey Thompson, you can pass the ball, but Bijan, he's emerging as the power back that any given time he can break away for a 25, 35, 45 yard game.
And don't you love it that several times today, Bijan carried to the left, Bijan carried to the right, Bijan got a swing pass. He played him boom, 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 boom.
We just haven't,
unlike Tom Herman, who would have him a series, rest for two series.
Yeah.
He is letting the big dog eat, and Bijan is a big dog.
Which is coming apparent that he's a guy that, you know, you don't want to see a running back carry the ball, you know, three downs in a row, but you can. And in situations where it's crucial, you need to, because he's the most talented guy in the Big 12, possibly in the country right now, and it's becoming more and more apparent that he's the best player on the field every single game.
Yeah, he is the best player on the field every single game. I like the way he plays.
I love it, and I don't think it's any secret. Great coaches figure out how to get the most talented guys on the field the ball in their hands.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that simple.
Yeah.
That's true across, you know, all these sports, whether it's basketball or football or baseball. I mean, if you had a great pitcher and you could pitch him every game, you would.
Yeah.
But, you just physically can't. But in football, you can give these kids are in great shape, and he looks like a world beater to me.
As we close today, we got to talk about the NFL. Cowboys play Monday night against the Philadelphia Eagles, and I think Jerry Sizemore is going to be with us on our regular show on Monday.
No, the regular show.
The regular show. Excuse me, not this show.
I love when you say that. This is a fake show.
Yeah, this is a real show. But there's some.
I'm texting Scotty right now.
Thank you. Interesting games tomorrow. Chargers and the Chiefs, I think.
Yeah.
Two teams that lost last week, and I look for Patrick Mahomes to come back. The Saints at the Patriots. That's going to be a terrific football game.
What about our Buffalo Bills, Pop? taking on Washington tomorrow, 7-point favorite back in Buffalo. Had a big win last week. Who was it?
They beat the Dolphins last week.
That's right. It was against the Dolphins. Oh, that's right. Is Tua going to play? Do we know
yet? No, he's not playing.
He's out.
He's out. He's out for the week, yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah,
Our 3 weeks, our Buffalo Bills taking on Washington. Yeah, Chiefs and Chargers. The Sunday night game, Packers 49ers. Aaron Rodgers looking like he's just refusing to play well for Green Bay. I love that. The Texans, I know they lost last week, but they're not looking that bad.
They look bad Thursday night, man.
They're not looking that bad.
They look bad Thursday night against Carolina. The Texans are gone until they find a quarterback. God bless them. I'm sorry. Davis Mills is not the future.
What did you just say, though?
What?
Their backup quarterback isn't even in. They're on the third string.
Yeah.
And they're still putting up some points.
They are. But I'm sorry to be so negative about the Texans, but I am.
They need the transfer portal.
They need now.
That being said, though, why in the hell have they not gotten Cam Newton?
I know.
Why are they not? What are they doing?
I don't know why not. But I don't know why they did that. Because I think they still have in their mind they're going to deal Deshaun Watson when he tries to get through his legal woes for a top-notch quarterback. Another game, Buccaneers at Rams. I predict that the Rams are going to defeat the Buccaneers tomorrow. I think our buddy Tom Brady goes down tomorrow. I think Matthew Stafford.
Oh, my gosh, how good is he in L.A.?
Yeah, he's really good.
I mean,
really.
He has so many weapons, and that's just, it's almost embarrassing for Jared Goff how successful Matthew Stafford's been.
Yeah.
Because Jared Goff's a fine quarterback, but Matthew Stafford, it's also really sad that Matthew Stafford wasted his first 12 years in Detroit.
Yeah, I know.
He did. But you can't argue that. He wasted his first 12 years.
He did not. Well, he could have made another deal, but he had such big moneyed contracts.
Yeah.
They paid him so well.
Exactly. Cowboys, Eagles,
I like
first
the
rivalry game of the year for the boys.
I like the Cowboys and their home opener.
3.5-point favorite?
Yeah, I like the Cowboys. I like the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the Cowboys. They had a narrow victory last week, but Eagles, good team.
And they lost a linebacker to COVID today.
And they did.
Oosh. Okay, we got to say goodbye. Mark Brooks, thank you so much. Have a great trip to Whistling Straits. This has been fun.
Bring it home.
As always.
You got it. Bring it. I feel confident heading up there now.
Take care of business tomorrow.
Yes, I got him.
John Paul, thank you. So, John Paul Aver. Yes, Ben.
Or don't jinx it either. Maybe you should stay. I mean, they're winning right now with you and Austin.
Stay here just saying. For the night and, you know, eat a hamburger and watch Bills.
I'm going to go hang out in the merchandise tent. Wait for the sales.
We got to go. That's the End Zone Club on KLBJ. We'll see you next week on the End Zone Club. For Ben Clements, I'm Ed Clements. See you next week on KLBJ.